if you slice a braid at a fixed time, you get a configuration of points in the plane. If you slice a two-dimensional braid in R4 at a specific time, you'll get a configuration of circles in R4. Sorry, in R3, because the slice is R3. Okay, so my definition of a braid of a so here is the definition of a W braid. It's pi 1 of the space of rings. The rings could be of arbitrary radius, but they have to be disjoint in R3. And you could talk about rings that also are allowed to flip over. And this is the Wenz business, if you've seen it. But as a first approximation, or a first part of the story, which is good enough, let's talk about rings that are always horizontal. So again, I have n rings in R3 of arbitrary radius, but they are always horizontal. Okay? And then, so what's pi 1 of this space?
Considered in three space.
What?
It's an unlink. There's nothing. No one's inside the other. Or
No. It's an unlink. They cannot be linked given that they're all horizontal.
Yeah, they're all bounding disks, separate disks.
No. They could be nested, but they would not be, right? Because if they have different radii, then they could be nested.
They could be.
But they cannot be linked because they are all horizontal.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
So, what's pi 1 of this space? Okay, first of all, let's choose a base point. I don't know, red, green, blue, from my perspective, left to right. No, let's do it, you know, Hebrew. So red, green, blue, and then from your perspective, it's French. Okay? So, this is the base point. And what are paths in pi 1. So here is an uninteresting path in pi 1. So the uninteresting path is this thing trade place, so like the ordinary braid group. They trade place by flipping and flipping again. Why is it uninteresting? Because this is homotopic to the trivial path. Because you have an S1 worth of such paths, right? You could trade places this way, this way, or vertically, or choose an angle and, you know, and do it in any. So basically, you have an S1 worth of such paths. So therefore, all of these paths are equivalent. So therefore, it's not interesting. Okay. So. In fact, this means that given any point, given any ending point, or any point, there is a canonic, any point in which the circles are not nested, okay, there is a canonical path to the base point. Okay, so basically, again, up to homotopy. So basically, you know, if I want to go to the base point in which red is on the right, I just go to the base point without crossing through in any way I want, and all of them are equivalent. So therefore, when I talk about a W braid, I don't have to make it close paths. I can talk about paths, and you'll close them yourself any way you want. Okay? So then, what are the generators? Well, what's left? The only thing that's left is for one to go through the other, or for the other go through the one. Okay? So, therefore, the pure W braid group on n letters is the group generated by generators sigma ij, where sigma ij means j flies through I in positive direction. Now, actually, what does it mean, the positive direction? So, like in ordinary knot theory, it's not the interesting part of the story that you have to go through it, and it was extremely painful for me to figure out what it is. So, here's one definition of positivity. I can then generalize it to all the other cases, okay? So, rings actually have to be oriented. Okay? So, you know, if you look at it, then it has the rings themselves are constructed in an oriented way, otherwise it wouldn't close. So pick this orientation. Okay? So, and by the way, in the case in which I do not allow flips, so I want the rings to be horizontal, I could just say that they're always oriented counterclockwise. Right? If I allowed flips, I would have to remember that the rings are oriented. And then the number of flips is the number of times the orientation flipped, if you wish. Not the orientation is fixed, but... Okay. Anyway, so if the ring is oriented, then it orients the disk that bounds this ring. And then if something flies through it, then it defines an oriented normal to this disk. And now, an oriented disk and an oriented one vector define an orientation of R3, and this orientation may or may not be the positive orientation. Okay? Alternatively, I need another right hand. I'll do it with my left hand. So again, my left hand is the disk, and so this is oriented counterclockwise. So if I want to know if this is a positive crossing, so again, what's indicated here is the fly-through direction of a disk. Okay? So if I want to know if this was a positive fly-through direction, I hold the trajectory of the smaller disk, which you could identify as a point because it's small. So I hold its trajectory with my right hand so that the thumb is pointing in the direction of the flow, and then I check whether my fingers agree with the orientation of the outer ring or not. Okay? By the way, notice that there is a bizarre thing here. Somewhat bizarre thing. If you flip the orientation of the outer ring, the sign of the crossing changes. But if you flip the orientation of the inner ring, the sign of the crossing doesn't change, because we don't even look at the inner ring, we only look at its trajectory. Okay? And this sort of strange behavior later has to do with the fact that it even becomes, you know, it becomes something in combinatorics, and then it becomes something in high algebra, and it becomes somehow something about Kashiwara-Verne. It becomes
the tail commutative, but not the...
No, I haven't gotten there. It's something else. It's the fact that the adjoint of differential operators. Okay. So if it's a degree zero operator, the adjoint is itself, and if it's degree one operator, so the adjoint of multiplication by a function is multiplication by a function, and the adjoint of differentiation is negative differentiation. So this is what this becomes later on, okay? But so that's why it's worth mentioning at least this, okay? Anyway, of course then, there are relations. And what are the relations? Well, if I have four rings and I don't have four rings, then flipping these two and flipping these two commute, of course. So sigma ij commutes with sigma kl, and I guess my convention will be that if four indices appear in the same equation, it's meant that they're all different. Okay? Then there is a Rademeister relation. So, if all of these are to fly, I need a few more hands, okay? but I think you kind of, so basically, I suppose I want to completely reverse the order of these, but not in the trivial way, that would be stupid. Then I fly like that, then I fly again, and then I fly again. Now they're completely flipped. And but I could, so I did it in one order, but I could do it in the opposite order, so the same relation still holds. So this relation still holds. So it's sigma ij, sigma ik, sigma jk is equal to its opposite. Sigma jk, sigma ik, sigma ij. Right? And finally, and this is an amusing relation, so this is the overcrossings commute relation. So, right, suppose, I guess now I need a volunteer. No, it's okay, I mean, it's a small, is it okay? Can you,
I know you can.
So, basically, suppose both of these want to go through green, whoops, okay? Now, but they could trade places externally and then go through, or they could go through and then trade places externally, and these two are clearly equivalent. Okay? So the relation is sigma ij, sigma ik commute. Okay? And I think this is it. The opposite is not true. So maybe I'll add it as a non-relation. This is not the same as, so here the overside, so the first index always indicates the bigger thing. Okay, so if two small ones, J and K, go through the same big one, it doesn't matter in which order they go through. But the opposite is not true. So if you have two big ones, I and J, so sigma I, K, sigma J, K. So again, a small one goes through two big ones. This does not commute. And again, the reasoning is, no, so now it's the opposite. Oops, now I have two bigs. Oops. Now I have two bigs. So really, the big ones, they have a complement, and their complement has has a free group as pi 1. So this would be xy in the free group, and this would be yx in the free group. And since they're not equal, no equality here. Okay, I've defined W braids. Yeah?
And just let the, also, it is possible to define just from purely formal algebraical point of view, you can also consider that head commutes just using the presentation of the pure welded braid group and putting sigma I into sigma I to the minus 1. The group that you obtain when you consider a pure part. With state commuting.
There is an isomorphism. I'm not sure I understood what you said, but of course I could swap the meaning of the indices and it would be an isomorphic group, but the relations will be swapped. So that's there is no.
But at the level, I don't know at the level of the pure white group, but with Valeri we were considering. In spite of using F1 forbidden move, we use F2 forbidden move. We obtain, of course, a group which is isomorphic, and the isomorphism is just that you are sending the classical generators in the inverse of the generator of the other one.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Okay, maybe, you know, I didn't even mention the relationship with ordinary braid group.
Yes, of course.
But the relationship will be that. You see, so the relationship is that, so in my, okay, since I'm talking about pure braids, the strands always retain their identity. They're always numbered, okay? So if I write 1 here, then this is strand number 1. It's always round. What strand number 1? I mean, maybe it is better if I had called it red, and then this one is blue, so it corresponds to the colors. Okay. then this goes to sigma 1, 2. Okay? And in general, I suppose, if it's I and J, then this goes to sigma ij. Okay? But in ordinary braid theory, it somehow doesn't make sense to multiply arbitrary sigma ij's in arbitrary order. Because, maybe I should say...
Between the strands, no?
Because the strands have to be... Right, it doesn't make sense to flip... Okay, so let's... Sigma ij... Well, in ordinary braid theory, it doesn't make sense to flip I and J if they're not next to each other. So therefore, the generators are usually called sigma I, and sigma I just means flip I and I plus 1. Okay? And in fact, after that, they change their identity. I becomes will be called I plus 1, and I plus 1 is called I. Okay? But here it makes sense. Because there is this canonical path going back. So, you know, if you want to view it as virtual braids, then maybe the right way to view it is to say that this sigma ij means I and j trade places and then come back to where they were. Okay? So, the map from... the map from one of the ordinary presentations. So one of the standard presentations of the virtual braid groups is sigma I is that it's generated by sigma I's and by sigma I's and rho I's, and then the sigma ij is really oi. It's a large expression because you have to go all the way from I to J and then all the way back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? The truth is that I just don't like this presentation.
Okay, but it is probably rho J until rho I, sigma I, rho I until rho J.
Yeah, something like that. But I started writing it, but I realized that writing... An alternative, the pure virtual braid groups on n strands is the same presentation, so it's sigma ij modulo the first two relations, but not modulo relation number 3 here. And this is a better definition than, and then the virtual braid group on n strand is just the symmetry group, semi-direct product, the pure virtual braid group on n strand, where the symmetry group acts on the sigma ij's by permuting I and j, by acting on the indices, okay? And this is, I think, a better definition than the definition with the sigma i's and rho i's.
Yes,
this is my opinion.
The pure part is more symmetric.
The pure part is easier. Yeah.
But it is a little bit of the situation with welded and virtual braids, that the pure part is even easier than the classical pure part.
Yes.
Because there is the action of the symmetric group is well defined, because in the generator of pure Pn, the user generator Aij, you have to fix it.
Yes, correct. So, you know, I could also write WBN is equal to SN semi-direct product P WBN, but it is not true in the U case. The U braid group is not a semi-direct product. So this is somehow, this makes things life easier. Okay. Anyway... so now let me make a construction that works for an arbitrary group. Okay? So for an arbitrary group G, you can, and then I will apply this construction for PWBN. Okay? So for an arbitrary group G, you can look at the group ring of G. So I'll do it over Q, but you could do it over Z if you wish, but later I will need Q. Okay? And the group ring of G contains an ideal called the augmentation ideal. So the augmentation ideal is the collection of all things of the form sigma AI GI such that the sum of the coefficients is equal to zero. Okay? And equivalently, if the sum of coefficients is equal to zero, you can always write it as a difference. So it's the collection of all linear combinations of differences, gi minus 1, which come with coefficients. So sum bi, gi minus 1, where 1 is the identity. And my notation for gi minus 1 will always be gi bar. Okay? So this is the collection of all things of the form sum bi, gi bar. Again, gi bar means gi minus 1, always in every group. Okay? Except when I write something else. Okay? Now, whenever you have an ideal, you can take its powers. So you can it contains the ideal, but the ideal contains the ideal to the second power. And the ideal to the second power contains the ideal to the third power, and so on. So you get a filtration of the group. Maybe I'll define this to be the ideal to the zeroth power. Okay? Now, whenever you have a filtration, you can get an associated graded. So I will define the projectivization of the group G to be just the associated graded. But later, this will be not just for groups, but for every algebraic structure. So the projectivization of QG will be the direct sum as n goes from 0 to infinity of I to the n modulo I to the n plus 1. Okay? Now, this is an algebra. If you multiply something in I to the n with something in I to the m, you get something in I to the n plus 1, sorry, I to the n plus m, and this clearly descends to the quotient, to the quotients. And it's clearly, obviously, an associative algebra. So this is an associative algebra. Furthermore, it is generated by the elements in degree 1, by definition. Because, you know, any element of I to the n is, by definition, a product of n things in I. So it's generated in degree 1. So this is generated in degree 1. Okay? Now, whenever you have a... Sorry. Enter my password before taking a picture. Good. Whenever you have an algebra, a graded algebra which is generated in degree 1, you can form a new graded algebra. So, given any algebra A with graded with generators in degree 1, so maybe we should take a break. But no, don't stop it. Let me just say, there is a general construction of the quadratic approximation of an algebra, and you can ask yourself whether the quadratic approximation is equal to the algebra. Okay? And in the case of the braid group, of the W braid group, the quadratic approximation I will show you is arrow diagrams. And whether it's equal to the algebra itself is the question of whether there is an expansion. But let's do it later. Okay.